listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
As Lincoln warned, when you empower judges or respect the claims of power of judges to do that kind of thing, to engage in that kind of jurisprudence, you give up Republican government. You abandon democracy.
From his perspective, there's no distinction between a person who believes what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and a person who would physically assault a student who identifies himself as gay.
It's like hiding the penicillin for a child in applesauce. The hope is that if we can get you to come and learn about parenting, we're going to sneak in a couple little references to a form of the gospel.
Nebraska Oregon students love issues, etc.
It's not unusual at all to find what our guest here in the first few minutes of the program calls a ghost lurking in news stories. A ghost is, when it comes to the religion angle, the ghost is that lurking thing that's there that you know is there. The religion angle's there, but it doesn't actually ever materialize. It remains that immaterial, wispy thing in the background. There may be just such a ghost in an ESPN magazine story about a highly touted pitching prospect for the Toronto Blue Jays. He lives a very unusual life, and even with a huge signing bonus, he isn't living like a professional athlete, especially during spring training. We'll be talking about that story and the ghost that lurks there with Bobby Ross Jr., in addition to a story on an Oklahoma bill that would eliminate marriage licenses. Get his Oklahoman's view on that. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, March the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After we talk with Bobby Ross Jr., Dr. Joel Bierman will join us from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're going to talk about a Lutheran approach to ethics. And then Pastor Paul McCain occupies hour two of Issues Etc., part three of a weekly series we are doing with him on Luther's Large Catechism. Today, the Third Commandment, where Luther doesn't talk a lot about a seventh day or a Sabbath. He goes straight to the preaching of God's word and how we hear it. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of an Oklahoma bill that would eliminate marriage licenses and an ESPN magazine story about a highly touted pitching prospect for the Toronto Blue Jays and his unusual style of life, Bobby Ross Jr. He's a regular guest, Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
What was this ESPN story about to begin with before we get into what it may have missed?
It's about a top pitching prospect for the Toronto Blue Jays who a few years ago signed a $2 million bonus, and I think is the top prospect for the Blue Jays and one of the top prospects in all of Major League Baseball. And you'd expect after signing a $2 million contract that you would buy, you know, a new sports car or buy a new house or, you know, splurge in some way. But this guy, I guess in the off season, is living out of an old van, parks it in a Walmart parking lot, makes himself scrambled eggs for breakfast in the morning, and just lives real simply and real frugally, and, you know, grows this beard like you might expect a hermit to do that he shaves off right before spring training. But just kind of, or just a real interesting guy with, you know, with a kind of a lifestyle that you wouldn't expect of someone in his situation.
Now, you say the ESPN magazine story was good as far as it went, but did it go far enough? Did it ask enough questions about this prospect and about his offbeat behavior?
You know, just as an ordinary reader, you know, I read it and, you know, I thought, you know, it had some great anecdotes, some great detail and color, and it's a good story. And I even posted it on my personal Facebook page and said, hey, this is an interesting story, check it out. But, you know, looking at it as we do at Get Religion, you know, as far as religion goes and whether it covers all the angles, there were missing questions that were raised that were not answered. You know, it mentions, you know, this guy was baptized in his baseball uniform, which to me, I'm like, what's going on with that? Yet, you know, ESPN just kind of races right past that and doesn't bother to get into his religion, his religious faith at all. So readers are kind of left in the dark, kind of wondering what's up with that. Just a quick bit of Googling, you can find out that he's a real committed Christian and has a scripture on his, you know, on his Twitter bio mentions a scripture, and I can't recall exactly what it is just off the top of my head, but, you know, just a guy who's pretty open about his faith. You know, some of the other reports that have been written note that he, you know, he when he signed the $2 million contract, he gave some money to his church in East Tennessee, and I think he gave, you know, some money to his family. And, you know, I think reading between the lines that part of the way he lives like he does, you would have to think has something to do with his faith. And it's just real strange that ESPN races right over that without getting into it at all. It would almost have to be a conscious decision. I hate to speculate on motivation, but you almost wonder if they decided, hey, we don't want to get into religion, so we're going to ride around that aspect of it.
Is another possibility that the question did get asked, because obviously Norris speaks quite a bit about his faith and talks about the context of his faith, that this just ended up at the end of a editor's red pen?
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I'm saying ESPN, somebody there to me had to make a conscious decision, whether it was the writer or whether it was an editor somewhere along the way, or whether, you know, I've seen some other ESPN magazine stories over the years where we've pointed out similar ghosts, and you almost wonder whether somebody who works there says, I'm tired of hearing athletes talk about God, and everybody says they love God, so we're not going to get into that. We're going to deal with real life and not religion. If there's somebody with that kind of attitude, I'm just speculating because I don't know, but it just, to me, it's such an obvious thing, and it's such an obvious part of this guy's character that I don't know how you could do this in-depth a story and not have to purposely leave that out. I don't think it's something you could miss.
Moving on to another story that you've, well, you not only recently wrote about it, but you've also got personal experience with this. The bill that's working its way through the legislature in Oklahoma that would eliminate government-issued marriage licenses. What's your own story on this?
Well, my wife and I are coming up on our 25th wedding anniversary, and when we got married, I graduated from college on a Friday, and we were getting married on a Saturday, and just the kind of time got away from us the week we were getting married. So I think it may have been the Friday after I graduated on a Friday morning, and Friday afternoon, I think we went to get to the courthouse to get our marriage license. I think we'd already done the blood test that were required. We get to the courthouse, and my wife, not, you know, fixing to be my wife, Dennis, looking through her purse and trying to find her driver's license, and she's somehow left that somewhere, and we don't have it, so we run out of time to get a marriage license. The preacher goes ahead and marries us in the church ceremony on Saturday. We leave for our honeymoon, and, you know, being I was early 20s, I think she was 19, we're just young, stupid kids, so we just never saw a need to get a marriage license until about 15 years later when we needed it for something and finally went back and got it. But that was our personal story with a marriage license. And, you know, some people after reading, I did the post with Get Religion about having not got one. They said, the IRS is going to come at you for tax fraud for filing married tax returns without having a marriage license. But fortunately in Oklahoma, we have a common law marriage law where if you publicly declare that you're married, which obviously the church ceremony would qualify, then you are married even if you don't have the official license.
So how do you think the coverage, especially in Oklahoma, but how has the coverage been of this proposed bill on both sides of the issue, especially with respect to what's being proposed as basically the clergy's role going forward in Oklahoma on marriage licenses?
It's been pretty non-existent, surprisingly. That was my concern with it, is we hear, you know, the coverage, you know, I've seen coverage in the Oklahoman, which is the major paper in Oklahoma City, and the Tulsa World Religion News Service had an item that went nationally. USA Today, I think, had something in the coverage. You know, it's been politicians, and then they've been quoting gay rights activists who have concerns about it. I've seen some quotes from, I think it's Americans United for Separation of Church and State, who have concerns that this is discriminatory toward non-theists and people who wouldn't have a clergy to be able to marry them because they wouldn't have any kind of religious leaders. But as far as the religious side, which to me is fascinating, you know, as far as whether, you know, your typical clergy person, your typical Christian minister or Catholic priest, whether they want the responsibility of being the ones to decide whether someone can have a marriage certificate or whether they feel like the state has a role in that. There, I haven't seen any coverage of that, which is surprising because I would expect that there would be some divergent viewpoints, you know, among the clergy themselves as to whether or not this is a good idea and as whether they feel like the state has a role in this as far as, you know, child custody issues and, you know, tax issues and some of the other things that marital status plays on a government level, or whether they do agree with what some of the supporters of on the lawmaker side are saying as far as God instituted marriage and it's a sacred commitment and the state doesn't really have any role being involved in it. But, you know, at this point, I haven't seen any coverage at all that really gets into any of that.
Any of it actually asking Oklahomans rather than the elected officials or representatives of various groups, anyone asking just the man on the street, saying, what would you think about that?
No, not that I've seen. And again, I think that would be something that would draw a lot of good discussion. You know, even on my personal Facebook page, you know, there were people vehemently opposed to this and others who say this is a great idea. And I think that would be a good story. And, you know, we might see some more of that. At this point, I think this bill has passed the House. And so, you know, it still has to go to the state Senate. And then it would require Republican Governor Mary Fallon to approve it. And I haven't heard much as far as how the Senate or what they think about this or whether Fallon is supportive of this. So it's one of those things where if this does look like it has a serious chance of passing both houses and being signed by the governor, that hopefully we will see some of that kind of coverage that gets more into what the religious people, religious leaders think, and also just the ordinary man on the street.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Joel Bierman discussing a Lutheran approach to ethics. The big question that we're trying to answer here in the next hour or so of the program is, does Lutheran theology, does it fail to provide a foundation for a kind of system of ethics, a way of thinking about the Christian life in ethical terms? We'll answer that question and many others, Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, right after this.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. 3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, The Small Catechism Giant Poster.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platte Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the Church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at christlc.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.